Well, this rhetoric directed against Iran has been ongoing for several years. In fact, it started in the immediate wake of the invasion of Iraq. And I think what is important to understand is that the United States, NATO, as well as Israel, are involved and have been involved in planning a war directed against Iran. And what they want is to essentially have the support of public opinion, present Iran as a threat to global security due to its alleged nuclear weapons, which it doesn't have, and of course present a justification and a pretext for humanitarian intervention on behalf of the international community. What I think people have to understand is A, Iran doesn't have nuclear weapons, and B, there are a number of European countries which are considered to be non-nuclear states which have nuclear weapons. And I'm talking about Belgium, Holland, Germany, Italy, and Turkey. These are five non-nuclear states which have nuclear weapons made in America, stationed in their military bases, and these are, in fact, targeted at Iran. It's a clear case of distortion and double standards. It's to build a war pretext incident. And I think what is very serious here is that if any kind of military action directed against Iran will immediately lead to escalation. Namely, at the moment, we have three distinct war theaters in the Middle East. We have Afghanistan and overflowing into Pakistan on the one hand. We have Iraq and Palestine. Now, the moment there is any kind of military action, punitive action directed against Iran, that whole region will flare up from the eastern Mediterranean right to the Chinese border. And we must also understand that this action against Iran is also indirectly targeting two main countries, China and Russia, which have extensive military cooperation agreements with Iran. And consequently, this has to be understood as part of a global war. If there is an attack on Iran, I think we must understand that we are potentially in a World War III scenario. That whole region flares up, and if other countries intervene, such as China or Russia, even in a passive way, we are in a World War III scenario. I know for a fact that this war has been prepared since late 2004 in terms of the stockpiling of weapons, establishing a state of readiness, all that is underway. Just about a year ago, the United States sent in a mission to Israel to modernize their air defense system, and the air defense system of Israel is now integrated into that of the United States and NATO. So that, in effect, what we're seeing is the coalescence of an alliance between the United States, NATO, and Israel. It's a formidable force in terms of capabilities. The issue is that U.S. military planners are often unaware of the broader consequences of their actions. They defined back in 2002-2003 the notion that U.S. tactical nuclear weapons, what they call the mini nukes, are harmless to the surrounding civilian population. In fact, the Senate then approved the use of these tactical nuclear weapons in a conventional war theater, and they said they could in fact be used on a preemptive basis against Iran and even against other countries. So that what the nuclear doctrine is telling us is that we can actually use these nuclear weapons as humanitarian bombs, because civilians won't be affected. The only thing we're going to do is to go after the bunkers using – it's a bunker buster technology. And so that it's an extremely dangerous crossroads in which we are today. The United States has launched a military adventure at the global level with its NATO allies. And those who decide on these military actions believe their own propaganda. They actually believe that they're going to make the world safer by waging a nuclear attack on Iran. And they also believe, they may also believe that Iran is a threat. And so that the whole propaganda ploy, which is presented in the Western media, has got completely out of whack. It's a propaganda ploy which justifies actions which could be devastating. We have a situation where the major political figures like Obama or Hillary Clinton are in the diplomatic arena attempting to build this consensus. The constant and persistent reference to the war on terrorism as a justification for waging war in the Middle East, when in fact anybody who has some understanding of that region knows that what is at stake is the oil, okay? And 60% of the oil and gas lies in the region, which extends from the tip of Saudi Arabia up to the Caspian Sea basin. It's a very strategic region. And why are they demonizing Muslims? It's very simple. They're demonizing Muslims because the oil happens to be in Muslim lands. I undertook the calculation that something of the order between 65 and 70%, depending on the estimates of the world's oil reserves, lie in Muslim countries. So that is why they demonize the Muslims, present them as enemies of the Western world. And ultimately, if those lands had been inhabited by Buddhists, they would have demonized the Buddhists. So that we're in a situation where we have a war of conquest. It's the conquest of oil and gas reserves. The United States of America has less than 2% of the global oil and gas reserves. That region, strategic region, has something of the order of 60%. And Iran has approximately 10% of global oil reserves, five times those of the United States of America. And it's very clearly indicated in national security documents that the objective of these wars ultimately, that's not something they'll say in public, but the objective is ultimately to gain strategic control over oil and gas reserves and also to exclude any kind of competing powers in the region, which include China and Russia, which of course are countries which have important interests in the region. They're also involved in the oil industry in a very pervasive way. And the idea is not only to make sure that we control that region, but also that we exclude any kind of possibility that countries in that region could trade or have international cooperation agreements with countries like China or Russia.